If you have not been to Dolores Cannon's website, well, I am going to ask you to do that. Just go to coasttocoastam.com. There's a direct link, and you'll see the many things that she has done. We've only touched on just a few of them. Back with her in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Dolores, so many other things to talk with you about. Fascinated by some of your work with hidden underground cities. Tell me about that.
Can I back up just a minute?
Just a minute.
Okay, because there was a point that I wanted to bring out about life after death. Can we do that first?
Just a minute.
Just a minute. Okay. Because, you know, people are so afraid of dying. And I have taken hundreds and hundreds of people through it, and it's not anything to be afraid of. But one thing I do want them to know, when you get to the other side, you're shown your life, the way you've just lived it. You're shown every single thing that you've done. And not only from your viewpoint, but you're shown it from all the people that you've ever been involved with from their viewpoint. Then it comes down to, I didn't know I hurt them like that. I didn't know what I said affected them that way. Now, this is important because there's no God sitting on a throne up there ready to punish you and judge you. You look at your life and what you've done, you judge yourself. There's no harsher judge than you yourself. You set up the circumstances that are going to happen when you return.
But the only way you can rectify is when you return.
Yes. You can do some work over there, but it takes a lot longer. You have to come back, be involved with the same people again. You don't get out of it. The same people again, same circumstances, only worse, because you have to work it out. That's just part of the school. And I thought people should know that. Maybe it'd make them look at things a little differently.
Okay. Now let's talk about some hidden underground cities. Tell, okay. How did you start doing work on this?
Well, like I said, my work comes from the people that I work with. And during the course of the past life regression, a lot of information comes out. And I'm never searching for it. It just pops up. And those are the ones that I weed out. It's not every case. But when you do thousands of people, you're going to get a few that are different. And that's what I've written about, a piece here, a piece there, and begin to put a puzzle together and get an entire story.
Where are these cities?
They're throughout the entire world. Okay, now if you want to go into that, these cities have been around since before the time of Atlantis. Because during the time of Atlantis, when it went down, a lot of the people went underground, and the cities were already there, already prepared by that time, because some of them were done by the ETs. They made these underground cities in the beginning so they could live there, because of the Earth had not really calmed down. It was not in a state where they could live on the surface, so they made underground cities. The amazing thing is that what I've heard, see, they're still in existence because there's a whole civilization living down there.
Do they look like us?
Oh, well, it's hard to say because they've been living underground for so long. I know where you're going with that question. You're going with the government underground cities. That's a different thing.
Well, yeah, I was going to get into that. But, I mean, I guess you're right. I mean, if a creature or a human has lived underground all its life, you know,
but
it's got to look different.
The amazing thing about these underground cities is the ETs put something down there that is very similar to a sun. It's there all the time, so they have light, there are lakes, there are gardens, there are a whole civilization. There are animals that don't exist on the surface of the earth. These people have been there since forever, and they have tunnels that connect throughout the entire system. They're able to go as fast as 3,000 miles an hour to go from one place to the other. The entrance to these tunnels are, most of them are underneath pyramids all over the world. The tunnels were there first, and the entrances, and then the pyramids were placed on top of the entrances. And like the ones in Egypt, they say many people know where these entrances are, but they're afraid to go down there because this is way down. I mean, it's not right under the surface. So these are whole cities and civilizations living down there, and they have no desire to come to the top. no desire to mingle with us at all.
Do they ever get infringed on by we surfaced dwellers?
If they did, they could handle it. I mean, because they'd either have the person stay or whatever, but they're not a violent people. But they are much more highly advanced than we are on the surface because they haven't had the violence to impede their development. So they said, talk about computers. You don't even know the half of what's really available underneath the surface. But I think you were going toward government underground.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if any of your work touched on that at all.
Yes, in the Nostradamus material, it talks about it. And some of these are inside mountains, and some of them are underground, but they're not as far underground as this other civilization. These are more or less in the, what you would call just a mile or so underground, if it's even that far. Here in the Ozarks, where I live, there is a lot of talk that they're here because we're in the middle of nowhere. There's caves. There's all kinds of underground things. And I've had people that said they've heard things that sound like construction going on under the surface of the earth. And I had a call one time from a man who said he used to work for the the Department of Engineers when they were making tunnels.
Civil engineers,
supposed to be government tunnels in this area. And he said when they were making these tunnels, they ran into other tunnels that they were not constructed by them, where they had walls that were just like laser smooth, and they knew this was built by someone else. So these would be the tunnels that connect the other cities. And so I have emails and calls all the time about people wanting to share information with me.
Well, we've long suspected that governments are ready to run under there any time.
That's what Nostradamus said, that they were all ready to go. I think he said this was 20 years ago when he's given me the information. The only thing left was the communication. They had people. They had whole systems set up to where they could live. They just had to have the communications to talk from place to place. And by now, we look at the technology, it's probably all set up. But there were several places that do have cities under there, people are living now, that are related to the government.
Yeah, I believe that. I think they've got structures and facilities ready to go. Some theorize that, they've got an underground facility in Denver, for example, ready to go.
Well, it's not in Denver. Mm-hmm. It's in the mountains there, but not in Denver. It's outside in the mountains in Colorado. That's one.
You know, your work takes you into other civilizations, ancient civilizations as well. Later, I want to talk with you about 2012, Dolores, and
definitely.
Get your take on that.
That's just what I'm lecturing on now all over the world. But see, with my work, I'm so curious. There's not any question I don't want to know the answer to.
Did you ever get involved in the work of Edgar Cayce and his prophecy?
I spoke at the at their headquarters in Virginia Beach.
ARE, yeah.
Yeah, and I've also spoke at their satellites, their corporations all over the United States. People have told me the work is very similar.
Two things fascinate me about Cayce, beyond his tremendous medical work.
Yeah.
And that is his view of North America physically. You know, it's a tremendous change. It's, sea levels have risen and, coasts have changed. It's that, but the biggest for me is the Hall of Records, of which one of the three spots he has talked about, he says it's at the base of the Sphinx, at the paw.
Yes, and I know someone who was working on finding that.
Yep.
They've already found the tunnels going down there.
I think it was Richard Schlock, I'm pretty sure.
No, this is a woman friend of mine.
Really? Okay.
The psychic, and she's been working with the archaeologists over there. She's found a great deal, but then they're not going to let her go all the way because, the archaeologists in Egypt really don't want a lot of this to come to light.
Why do you think the pyramids were constructed?
Oh, I know why they were. Like I said, there's no question I haven't asked about. Okay. I mean, give me a question and
you've got an answer for it.
Because I always want to know the answer to everything. And I've written about these things in the Convoluted Universe series. Okay. in the time of Atlantis, they were able to do anything with their mind, absolutely anything. They had perfected it to the finest degree. There wasn't anything they couldn't do. And I know you're going to want to come back to ancient civilization, so I'll pass over that right now. But the pyramids were built by the survivors of Atlantis. There were some that survived, and I have people who have gone back to those lifetimes where they were there when Atlantis went down, and some of them were able to make their way to what is now Egypt. And they built these, but they were also built with the help of ETs, because they have to do with what these other investigators are talking about, the orientation to Orion and the different, the word's not channel, those little things that go through the pyramid that point at the different stars.
The tunnels.
They're little tunnels up in the top.
Right.
Yeah, because it was definitely not a tomb, and it was done to point what the idea was, that a lot of these early pharaohs that I've found were actually ETs who came here to guide people at that time. They were... Every civilization in the world has the legend of the culture bringers. The Indians have their corn woman. All the other ones have the ones that brought fire, taught them how to plant. These were the ETs, and many of them lived among these people for hundreds of years to guide them. And so when they lived so long that the people began to treat them as gods. So this is where the legends have come from. And the early ones, the early pharaohs, were some of these ETs that dwelt among the people for hundreds and hundreds of years. So in order to keep the pharaoh's soul from being trapped on Earth and going through karma, that's where part of this was built, so they could have direct access when they died through these little tunnels back to the stars it came from. That's one of the things I've been told. But there's a lot more to it, because it is an alignment. It can be seen from outer space. It's like a marker for the ones coming in.
But who built them?
The survivors of Atlantis with the help of the ETs.
I've always suspected something like that. You know, Zahi Hawass, who heads up Egyptians Antiquities. Boy, you tell him that, Dolores, he'll be chasing you all over the place.
No, that's what I'm talking about. He's the one that my friend is working with, and he won't allow her to go any further.
No, and I have long suspected that they probably already found the Hall of Records.
Well, she was one of the few that went all the way down. They lowered her down into the tunnels, and that they're usually full of water. This time she went down there. This is underneath the paws of the Sphinx. This time they went down, and there wasn't any water there, and they were able to find doorways. They found all kinds of skeletons and things down there also. But she said they were able to find, they know the tunnels are there, but Hadi Zawas and the rest of us said, no, we're not going any further. So she goes back every once in a while to work with this, but they won't allow these information to come out.
No.
So, you know, but most of the time there's water down there, so you can't explore.
They're trying to preserve this for some reason.
Well, in my books, they say they're afraid. They're really afraid because if people would come in, they're going to want to go and explore, and they don't want them messing around down there. They also said this would change their history if this was found.
In your work, The Convoluted Universe, you also touch on the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, everything.
You're an investigator par excellence, aren't you?
Investigator what?
That's French, by the way, Dolores. Poor French.
I just came back from Paris.
Poor French. But no, tell me about the Loch Ness Monster. Why did you investigate Nessie?
Well, I've been to Loch Ness. I think it's hardly any place I haven't been to, really.
You never saw anything, though, did you?
But no, I believe it's what they suspect, is that they were remnants of the dinosaurs, the one of what's the name?
Plesiosaur.
That has the long neck.
Yeah, it's a plesiosaur.
Yes, and they got into that part, and they were landlocked because they couldn't get out again. And they're down there, and they breed very, very slowly. That's why there aren't too many of them. They do come on land. But most of the time, they spend under the water.
That's the explanation, too, that I think so many people would love if they ever find this creature, they want it to be a dinosaur.
Yeah, it's just a remnant, and because it was landlocked, it wasn't destroyed like the others. There's many others of these all over the world that people don't know about, because look at the oceans out there. There's so much in these oceans that we're not even aware of.
Of all these things that you've investigated over the years, is there an area that still perplexes you the most?
I don't know. If I find an area, then I explore it.
You go after the answers, no matter what.
Oh, but definitely. I go after the answers, and they're giving me more and more complicated stuff.
What haven't you gotten an answer for yet? What haven't you gotten an answer for that you've tried to uncover?
I haven't had a question I haven't been able to find an answer for.
Really?
If I haven't, it's because I haven't thought of the question.
Huh.
That's what I told you. I've been able to make contact with the source of all knowledge. And they said, all you have to do is come up with a question. You can have the answer to anything you want.
What did you do to get yourself tuned up in order to do this?
This is what I call my technique that I developed over 30 years. It began to happen by accident. First, the connection with Nostradamus. And then as I worked with more and more people, I began to find out there was something else happening, that I was not communicating with them so much as this other part of them that is bigger than everybody. And then I began to find out how to contact it directly and call it in during the session for explanations. And so then it began just pouring information out to me. When I'm working, I call it the subconscious mind, but it's not the subconscious the way the psychiatrists define it. That is a childish part of the mind, and I've had arguments with psychiatrists about this. The part that I call the subconscious, you may call the higher self, the oversoul, the higher consciousness. I think it's the part that Jung, when he was first starting psychiatry, called the universal consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I have found a way to contact that directly. And when you do, there is tremendous information and power. I call it the subconscious, and they say, I call them they. They say, we don't care what you call us. We'll work with you. So all I have to do is come up with a question that we can have the answer. The majority of the time, I'm helping the person I'm working with. That's why the technique that I'm teaching deals with the therapy part. You go through the past life, which is the tip of the iceberg. Then you go into this part, which explains the person's problems and also has instantaneous healing of the person because we find out the cause.
Are you finding now, Dolores, now more than ever, that more and more people are becoming tuned in or spiritual? Not necessarily religious, but I mean just a little more spiritual to what's going on?
Well, I find it all over the world. You know, I'm really amazed in Russia. They're very much into this. See, my books are now in 20 languages all over the world. That's why I travel so much. And in Russia, I have two publishers that are publishing all my books in Russian. And there is a great interest over there. That's why I'm going to be teaching my technique now with the Nostradamus Academy in Moscow, and also they want me to teach in the Baltic states and all of the former communist countries. And I'm also teaching my technique at the Northern New Mexico College in Santa Fe, and they're giving 1.5 college credits for this.
Good for you. You're all over the place.
Oh, that's I'm it. All over the place, and I'm finding there's more and more people involved in this because we're finding out the medical profession is not where it is anymore.
Stay with us, Dolores. I want to talk about 2012 when we come right back, right here on Coast to Coast AM. You get 13 issues for the price of 12 when you pick up the After Dark newsletter. Call 1-888-727-5505 for that. And you can also go on to the coasttocoastam.com website where it is safe and secure. Next hour, phone calls with Dolores Cannon, but we'll be back with her in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. 2012, not too far away anymore, Dolores. 5 years ago, I thought, man, it is long, but not anymore. It's coming
not
up.
Not anymore at all. No, we're headed there fast. George, Can I tell a story that has to do with your show that happened right after I did the last time?
Sure. And you were on about 6-7 years ago, I think.
Yes, and this was a very strange story dealing with dimensions, and I tell it at my lectures. Can I say it real fast?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, after the show, you know, we get tons of emails. And this one lady wrote me and said there was three women, they're in Tennessee, they're friends. They didn't want to stay up all night, so they had the long playing tape recorders to record the show all during the night. Well, they each one had recorded the show. And the next morning, the one woman said she got up and played the tape. The show wasn't on it. Instead, there was a sports game. She called the station, and they said, well, we're not carrying Coast to Coast anymore, and we don't care how many people protest. So she called her friend. Her friend had the same thing, not the show, but this game. Her third friend got the show. And all three of these women on the tapes had the same call letters of the radio station. They were all listening to the same radio station. Two of them did not get the show. The other one did. And they wanted me to tell them, well, what happened here? And they said, incidentally, now they are carrying the show again. Well, it was only a few weeks after this. I was lecturing in Tennessee, and they came to the lecture. They said, we just want to tell you this really did happen, and we have the tapes to prove it.
Jeez, how weird.
So I tell them at my lectures, what is going on here? It has to do with dimensions. In one dimension, the show did not exist. And the other one, it did. That's my only explanation I can come up with.
And now maybe it's on in every dimension.
But I think that's a fascinating story, and there's proof of it. So that makes it even more interesting.
It is. Are you a believer that 2012 is not going to be devastating for everybody?
Oh, no. It's a whole different thing altogether. This is what I'm lecturing on now, and this is I've got it a whole lot about this. It's called The New Earth. And it's in my Convoluted 2 and Convoluted 3. This is a whole different thing.
Now, whatever it was, though, what's your take on the Mayans? What did they know, Dolores?
Well, this is what it's all about. Okay, let me talk about this then.
All right.
Because, yeah, 2012, people keep saying it's the end of civilization. No, it is not. It's the end of civilization as we know it. See, we're living in a very interesting time right now. We are moving into a new Earth. The old Earth is becoming too polluted, too corrupted, too environmentally unstable, and a new Earth is being created. And what is happening? We are involved in it right now. It started in the year 2003. The vibrations and the frequencies of the old Earth are changing in vibration, and we're moving into another dimension. And this is having effects on people's bodies. There's a lot of things happening that people don't understand. As we move away, it's pulling away from the old Earth and creating a new Earth where everything is going to be wonderful. Total opposite from what it is right now. Moving into another dimension. And I've been told this is the greatest show on Earth. It has never happened before in the history of a universe. That an entire planet will shift in mass into another dimension. So all the other beings, everything, all over the universe is watching this to see, can we pull it off? Because they don't know, it's never happened before, that an entire planet has done this.
Sort of a moment of enlightenment.
Oh, it's very much. That's what I keep telling people. This is what's happening now, the awakening, the enlightenment of what is happening, because you can feel it in your bodies. And people out there who have these symptoms, they go to the doctors, and the doctors can't find anything wrong with them. All it is that in order to move with the planet, our bodies have to change frequencies and vibration also to match the planet. And when this happens, your body can't change the frequency all at once. It would destroy the body. It has to be done gradually in stages. This began in 2003, and you may feel these symptoms for a few weeks or so, and then it'll level off for several months. Then it'll do it again as you progressively raise the vibrations. Some of the symptoms people are experiencing is heart palpitations, high blood pressure, dizziness, joint aches and pains, muscle aches and pains, depression. This is because the body is undergoing this and they don't understand what it is.
Does the sun have anything to do with this?
No, the sun is a communication device, I'll tell you that.
In what way?
It's an accumulator of information. Everything is. We accumulate information. Our planet accumulates information about all the beings on the planet. The sun accumulates information from all of the planets in the solar system, and so on and so on and so on, all the way back to the source.
So you don't think the sun's going to hit us with the next flare in 2012 and
wipe us out? Oh, no, that has anything to do with it at all. Okay, let me explain 2012. As you know, the Mayans disappeared.
Yes.
No one knew what happened to them. Also, there were several Indian tribes that disappeared down North America. Uh-huh. No one knew what happened to them. I've had people go back to past lives when they were there when all of this happened. What it was that the Mayans were highly advanced civilization, and they were able to control this to the point that they shifted their entire civilization to this other dimension in mass. And they were advanced enough that they could see in the future to see that the next big event would be when the entire planet moved into the other dimension.
Would they walk right through a different portal?
It's more than that. It's a shifting of an entire thing. Portals, I've written about those also. Those are where you can go back and forth, yeah. Time travel. A window is when you can look through it, but a portal is where you can go through it. This is a shifting of an entire into an entire different dimension. And the people that I've had the sessions with who did this with the Mayans, see, this is why they had their calendar stop at 2012, because they could see this was the biggest event ever to happen in history. And they stopped their calendars at that time. So when I've got the person under, and they were at that time when they moved to the other dimension, and they're very happy there, I said, well, why did they come back into a human body? They said they were here to help the rest of us make the transition, to blaze the trail, to show the way. And we're all in the middle of this process right now. 2012 is going to be an accumulation. That's not the word I want. It's building up to that. It's not the end. It is like the height. When we get to that point in 5 years, 4 years now, you'll know something is definitely happening.
A moment of enlightenment, you believe?
It's definitely, and it's happening now all over the world. People are getting it finally. But at that point, it's a separation with the old earth and the new earth. Everyone won't go because they can't change their vibration that quickly. If they're still in the negativity, they'll be left with the old earth. They said they'll be left with what they created. They'll stay there. They'll work out their karma there. They won't move into the new earth. But this is also affecting people's diets.
In what way?
Well, if you've noticed, your diets are changing. They said if you're going to make this transition, the body has to become lighter. To do that, you've got to do away with heavy foods. You can't be eating the heavy meats anymore. That will hold you down. And people have told me they don't want that anymore. Every time I've asked about diets during any of my sessions, they all say the best foods are live foods. This means fresh fruits and vegetables. All of this is common sense.
Sure.
But it's fresh fruits and vegetables. And they said eventually, as this progresses, we'll go to all liquid diets. And so we'll notice in our bodies, we just won't want the heavy foods anymore. We're going into this, the whole thing is lifting. And water, the value of water is beyond belief. It's very, very important as we go through all these changes in our bodies, in the world, in the whole transition. It is a time of enlightenment. It is a time of change. Very, very important to the world.
You know, this change in 2012.
Yeah.
So how did them, even though you say the Mayans were advanced, how did they know that this time period was going to be that dramatic?
Well, like I said, they were able to see the future. They were more advanced than people knew. This is why they decided to shift en masse, to get away from the planet.
And basically, they all left. I mean, yes, there's some people who are Mayans now, but there's not a lot of them.
Not very many. But they shifted en masse, and this was with the Anunnaki. The different Indian tribes also did the same thing. They just got to the point they didn't think they needed to be here anymore and decided to move into another dimension. And they saw that this was going to happen to the Earth. But it's a very important time, and I've asked so many questions about this, and I was told, we can't give you all the answers because we don't know. This has never happened before in the history of any universe that an entire planet is going to move en masse. So we can't really tell you because we don't know.
What do you think of the Book of Revelation, Dolores? Is this tied to any of this?
Yes, I've written about it also and done quotes. This was what refers to in the Book of Revelation as the new heaven and the new earth.
2012?
Yeah, well, what we're going through right now is the shifting into another dimension. That's what it refers to. Of course, St. John, when he had his vision on the Isle of Patmos, didn't realize it was going to be thousands of years before it was going to happen.
And are we pretty close, though, that this is going to be the time period?
Yes, we're in the middle of it right now.
Okay.
And people are feeling it in their bodies. But they said, don't worry about the ones who are into the negativity. They'll all get there eventually. It all has to do with karma. They'll get there eventually. It's just they won't go with this time.
Might not be in this lifetime.
No, not in this lifetime. They told me to tell people in all of my lectures, the main thing you've got to do if you're going to go with the whole, everyone that goes to the new earth, you've got to get rid of karma. Because karma ties you to the earth. It ties you to the wheel of karma.
How do you get rid of it?
You've got to forgive and let go. And that's very difficult. I have clients, that's their main problems, and I tell them this is causing physical illnesses in their body.
If somebody murdered a member of your family, could you forgive them?
This is what it's all about. You have to.
I couldn't.
You'd have to. This is what karma is. If you don't, you're tied into the situation. You're hooked to that person. You're tied to that person, and you won't get out of it until you do forgive and let it go. I've had clients, they'll tell me, I can't forgive. You don't know what they did to me. And I said, all right, then you're going to be condemned to have to come back again and again with the same people in the same circumstances, only worse, until you finally learn the lesson and get out of it.
But do you blame those people, Dolores, who can't forgive? I mean, you can understand why they can't.
Oh, yes, I can, but they have to be able to look at it from a different direction and a bigger picture. Because this could have been going on for many lifetimes. Maybe they have a pattern they set up where they're with the same people again and again and again, and they're not making any progress. But that's when we make our contracts on the other side. We're going to come to our life. We make a contract with these people who you've just got through a life with, and you'll say, well, we didn't do such a good job, did we? Let's go back and try it again. This time, you be the husband, I'll be the wife, you be the mother, I'll be the daughter. You can switch roles around any way you want. It's just a play anyway, it's just a game. If you look at it that way, I think you'll be able to see it differently. But you make a contract with them. You come into the life, you hope you're going to work it out. And sometimes you're caught in the same rut again, and it's not being worked out. Then I tell them you're going to have to, you do this mentally. You don't do it face-to-face. It's too hard. And sometimes the person that you're angry at or having the karma with has died. You do it mentally to that person, and you say to that person, we tried. We really tried. It didn't work. Let's tear up the contract.
Is your what?
You go your way, I'll go mine. I forgive you, I release you, I let you go. We will have no more contact. And it's amazing the relief they feel, and the person can't push their buttons anymore.
You
and
think,
it's all, it's just a game. You know, they like to push your buttons.
You think if we acted that way on this planet, totally, across the board, there'd be no more wars, or would that person be getting the short end of the stick, I guess, the forgiver?
Well, that's what I tell people in my lectures. If you understood the rules behind reincarnation, the rules behind all of this, there would be no judging, there would be no prejudice, there would be no violence, there would be no wars. You'd finally understand what we're here for and what we're trying to accomplish and how we're defeating our purpose.
What's new with the OzarkMT.com website?
Well, you know, see, I have 15 of my own books out there on every subject imaginable, but I've also started this publishing company. It's been almost 15 years ago.
That's the Ozark Mountain Publishing?
Yeah, that's my company, and I have over 25 different authors. One of my authors is the grandson of Mahatma Gandhi, and I publish books from authors everywhere, and I have 5 more under contract, so we're constantly publishing, and I publish the books that are metaphysical, spiritual, and that I believe in, because I do all the reading of all the hundreds of manuscripts that are submitted to me.
Why does it appear that people nowadays, that they need this, they want this, they need this kind of information?
Because it is the time. I said we are living in very unusual times here. Things are changing, even though some people don't think there are. It is a time of enlightenment. We are awakening, finally. This is what it's all about. Moving on. It's the only way to do it is to move on. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck going round and around and around in the same circle.
So why are we seeing 11-11 or 111 all the time?
Oh, those are very important numbers to me.
How come?
The 11th and the 22s, those are important numbers in all of my work. Those are master numbers, you know.
And we see these all the time. You look at a digital clock out of nowhere, and there it is, you know.
That's your guides and your guardian angels, whatever you want to call them, they're talking to you.
A little message?
Yeah, my daughter says when she sees them, it's like they're giving you a little hug. They're saying, we're here, you're not alone.
As long as we're not being scolded.
Oh, no, they just say, we're taking care of you. We're here to get your attention. If I'm going to take a plane or something, or I'm going to do a conference, I see them everywhere. And it's just telling me, it's all right, you're safe, you can do it. It's just little reminders.
Can people reach you through your website?
Oh, yes, they can. All right, and give out my...
go ahead.
My email.
Go ahead.
Boy, we get hundreds of emails. But you've already said they can make a link to our website.
Yep. So is your email right there?
My email can be through the website, or you can do it direct. It's decannon, C-A-N-N-O-N, at msn.com.
Easy enough. We'll be back with questions now. Your questions with our guest, Dolores Cannon, in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie.